This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up on this edition, the foreign and domestic policy failures of the Obama administration are now reaching crisis proportions. Far from securing peace in the Middle East has become a cauldron of anti-American and Israeli activity. With Syria in the midst of a civil war, Iran becoming a nuclear power, Iraq in part becoming an Islamist state, and Israel on the verge of a ground war in Gaza. Best-selling author and communications strategist Joel Rosenberg joined me with the latest on the growing conflict in Israel. And while the president is asking Congress for an additional $3.7 billion to address the self-made humanitarian crisis on our southern border, where thousands of children are in holding facilities, government agencies are turning away offers of humanitarian assistance from churches. Is this yet another example of our government's growing intolerance toward religion? FoxNews.com's Todd Storms joins me with that answer. Also, as I just mentioned, the Obama administration requested more money to address the border crisis. But is this a crisis of their own making, and are there any guarantees that if Congress gives the administration more borrowed money, that we'll not have to do it again and again until we have an administration that will actually uphold the law and not undermine it? That's what Congressman Ted Poe of Texas answered on Wednesday. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, where you can find out more about today's guest and the topics that we are covering. You can also sign up for my daily update. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, the battle between Israel and Hamas continues to rage in the Middle East, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down. As I mentioned this week, we haven't seen this level of hostilities for a number of years. The Israeli Defense Forces have reported that hundreds of rockets have been fired into Israel from the Gaza Strip. The Israeli Air Force has hit dozens of Hamas and Islamic Jihad targets in Gaza as well. Will the situation continue to escalate, or is this just another dust-up in the Middle East? Best-selling author and former advisor to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and founder of the Joshua Fund, Joel Rosenberg, joined me on Wednesday. Joel, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
Well, Joel, I know you're watching this closely. You're back in the States, but I think you were just over in Israel just a couple of weeks ago.
Several months ago, but yes. My eyes are riveted on there, as everyone else's are. Let me just say, to be clear, I did work for Prime Minister Netanyahu a number of years ago. I don't speak for him now, so I just want to be clear about that. But yes, the situation continues to go from bad to worse. 103 rockets fired at Israel today. It's now just after midnight in Israel. So by last count, 103 rockets, 21 of whom shot down by the Iron Dome system that the U.S. helped fund, the anti-rocket system. That's good news. And as far as I know, there haven't been any Israeli casualties because of this Iron Dome system. But it's not for a lack of trying on the part of Hamas and Islamic Jihad.
Well, I have the alert app on my phone, having been
good
over there in Israel, and so it's been going off throughout the day. And I read, actually, when I was in Israel in November, I was able to tour one of the sites that was a part of the Iron Dome. I got a briefing on the entire system, and I was reading this afternoon that thus far in this latest series of attacks on Israel, it's had a 90% success rate in taking out the rockets that it has targeted. So I'm certain that that gives Israel a little more flexibility. But how significant is this current conflict? Is this just another conflict there between Hamas and Israel, or is there something more at play?
Well, it's a good question, and I'm not sure that I have a definitive answer yet. It seems to happen every few years now. I was in Israel in November of 2012 when the last big round of this happened, Israel almost invaded. They mobilized their ground forces as they're doing now. They massed tanks on the border. They used a lot of air power. In the end, the Egyptians were able to convince Hamas that it was not in their interest to continue this, and Hamas did stand down, and the Israelis did not have to do a ground operation and essentially reinvade Gaza. So that was good. And I got to see the Iron Dome system. I was in the southern city of Ashkelon and was watching rockets coming right at us. We were all running for bomb shelters. But we actually saw the Iron Dome system in action, and it blew out three rockets right over our heads. It was one of those surreal moments of my experience in Israel, because as you know, all through the 1980s, people were saying, oh, missile defense systems, it's just Star Wars, it's high in the sky, it's Hollywood, it can never work. These are really extraordinary systems, and they're allowing Israel to not have to invade yet,
right?
Because Israeli citizens aren't dying. And so that is, it's become a strategic defense system, in truth, because it's helping give Israeli leaders some time to make some decisions. But, of course, our heart goes out to the Palestinians who, you know, are essentially trapped by these radical Islamists who are firing these rockets. And, you know, many Palestinians in the Gaza Strip don't want this to be happening, but there's really nothing they can do about it at this point.
Well, there's no place for them to go either. I mean,
we really need to be, as Christians, praying both for the Israelis to be safe, but for the Palestinians as well, because the Israelis, of course, are using air power quite effectively and decisively right now to try to take out these launcher sites and these various Hamas and Islamic Jihad weapons depots and caches and rocket launchers. But they've got these radical terrorists keep all this equipment and these weapons right in civilian areas, and it's extremely difficult to prevent collateral damage.
But the Israelis, as you mentioned, are doing a very good job of precision targeting of these sites and of the leaders, and so it is difficult for them. But I think under the conditions, they're doing remarkable. Let me ask you this, Joel. From the standpoint, and you've written a lot of novels, kind of thrillers about the Middle East, and it's amazing how oftentimes your novels that you write end up coming to pass in many instances. With everything that's going on in the Middle East right now, I mean, it is probably the most unsettled that we've seen in modern time. I mean, what are possible outcomes here in the Middle East from a geopolitical standpoint?
Well, what's particularly troubling, Tony, is that we seem to be watching the reaction of radical Islamic forces to the Obama administration's consistent withdrawal from the region. Okay, so what you had is when President Obama was elected, you know, he was elected in the beginning of 08 as promising to get the United States out of Middle Eastern wars. And so he withdrew, of course, all of our forces from Iraq and refused to negotiate in any type of serious way a status of forces agreement, which would allow us to keep at least a stabilizing force in Iraq. Not to keep fighting, hopefully, but at least to keep just, you know, be there in case, like we do in Korea, as we are in Germany and other places around the world. But by not having any U.S. forces there and signaling that we were going to withdraw our influence as well as our forces from the region, radicals have sort of watched for a while and then decided, let's start seeing if we can take ground and even take whole countries. And so we've seen the radicals, of course, trying to overthrow the Assad regime in Syria. Now, Assad is no friend of freedom, peace, but... the struggle is, okay, what do you do if ISIS, this Islamic radical group that's so radical that Al-Qaeda kicked them out, what if they take over, right? That's what, they're on the move right now, and they're an Al-Qaeda offshoot, an ultra-violent faction. It's hard to even imagine saying the words, an ultra-violent faction of Al-Qaeda, right?
Yeah.
Because Al-Qaeda is the worst that there are. These guys are worse still. In fact, I'm writing a novel, I just finished it, it'll come out next spring, about ISIS trying to overthrow every regime in the region, including Israel and Jordan. But that's what's happening. The radicals are on the move in Syria. Obviously, they're on the move in Iraq, and they've captured, you know, arguably half of Iraq right now, and we're not there to be able to stop them. And then, of course, you've got Iran rising rapidly to try to get these this deal by July 20th, which they believe they'll be able to persuade the world to allow them to keep enriching uranium, and which will allow them to keep moving towards nuclear weapons, even with a legal international deal. It's stunning to think that that's how close we are to this, but we seem to be just a few weeks away. And then, of course, Hamas has decided, well, if everyone else is getting what they want, maybe we should start launch a new offensive to radicalize the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. Let me just say, I think most Palestinians, certainly many, don't want any part of this violence. But again, the radicals are sort of driving the agenda right now throughout the region.
That was best-selling author Joel Rosenberg. To find out more about Joel and the work that he's doing, go to the website TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we return, the president is asking Congress for an additional $3.7 billion to address the self-made humanitarian crisis on our southern border, where thousands of children are in holding facilities. Government agencies are turning away offers of humanitarian assistance from churches. Is this yet another example of our government's growing intolerance toward religion? FoxNews.com's Todd Storms joins me after the break. Don't go away.
America's first liberty, the freedom of religion, is being threatened. It's being pushed out of our public life, out of our schools, and even out of our churches. FRC has partnered with Liberty Institute to document these events. Our new report is titled Undeniable, the Survey of Hostility to Religion in America. It's not exhaustive, but it records almost 1,200 incidents of hostility to religion. We invite you to download your copy at religioushostility.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Well, the chaos on the border, our southern border, continues as the president this week was in Texas, but not to deal with the real issue, but raise money for political allies. However, there's another side to the border issue that I have found extremely disturbing. Fox News' Todd Starnes broke a story this week that pastors and churches have been barred from helping thousands of illegal immigrant children housed in border detention facilities run by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Kyle Coffin, the pastor of Crossroads Church in Tucson, Arizona, said, quote, Border Patrol told us pastors and churches are not allowed to visit. It's pretty heartbreaking that they don't let anybody in there, even credentialed pastors, end quote. Folks, this is quite unbelievable. Fox News' Todd Starnes, who broke the story, joined me on Thursday. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tony. Glad to be with you.
All right, Todd, I'm finding this story, well, I would say unbelievable, but maybe not. I've seen this before. Is it in fact true that the government agencies are turning away assistance from local churches?
Yes, that's correct, at least in Arizona. A couple of days ago, I had some of my readers alert me to some churches in the Tucson area. These churches had reached out to Border Patrol. They wanted to see what they could do to help. They had seen the images that many of us had seen on the television of the conditions with the children. And the churches wanted to go down and have volunteers play games with the kids. They wanted to be there to pray for the young people and to help minister to and take care of their spiritual needs. Well, they were turned down, and they said no, that would not be allowed, that pastors would not be allowed onto the facility. Mm-hmm. And I decided to call Border Patrol myself to find out, and they sent me an email stating that, in fact, that was correct. They were not allowing pastors or any church groups onto the property due to logistical concerns.
Now, from the article I read, it also sounded as if even if the churches were just going to take clothing, toys, other items that could be used by these children, they weren't even accepting those contributions.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And you know, the ministers, I talked to them, and they told me that they understood about the clothing and the toys, that might pose some sort of a logistics nightmare, you know, if they had hundreds of toys delivered. So they understood that. But they really felt it was quite egregious that they would not allow ministers to come in and to at least pray with the children. And I talked to the pastor of Crossroads Church there in Tucson, Pastor Kyle Coffin, and he told me that their church is conservative. They are certainly not anti-government, but he believes the government has a role and a responsibility, and he believes that it is not doing the church's job. And he's accusing the government, at least in this instance, of overstepping its boundaries and doing the work of the church.
Well, I'm not surprised by that, Todd. As you see, I believe big government sees churches that are living out their religious conviction in a tangible way, such as this, as competition. And so big government has to squeeze out those charitable organizations. When, you know, we hear all the time about criticism of conservative evangelicals who may not be in line with the president. And I'd venture to say they probably do not support the president's policy on immigration, but that doesn't matter. Even so, we still have an obligation as Christians to meet immediate needs, and that's what they're doing here. And I think the government sees that as a threat.
And quite frankly, it's a double standard. It's really hypocrisy. And I say that because we know that the government has been working with Catholic churches to try to place these kids in their facilities once they get removed from these detention centers. So it's only when they need the church's help is when they will take advantage of it.
Todd Starnes, let me ask you a question. Since your story posted yesterday about what was happening there in Arizona, what has been the feedback?
Well, people are pretty outraged by this, but quite frankly, not surprised, especially people who've read my book, God Bless America. They know what's going on. But I do know that one of the ministers emailed me and said they're still planning on collecting items and going down, and they're going to try to deliver those things. But it really is a shame, Tony, that in this day and age, that God is not welcome in those camps.
Well, as we are discussing this issue with members on Capitol Hill, because the president, as I mentioned, has requested almost $4 billion to address this crisis that many say his own policies have created, Congress is looking at this particular issue that you raised in your article, so that if any humanitarian support, financial support, comes from Congress in the way of additional authorizations of funding, that faith-based groups will indeed be able to participate and do what they do best. Because you know what? I mean, government can do less with more. You know, that's how they do it.
You know, it's ironic, Tony. Here you have all these people wanting to volunteer to go to the border to be with these kids, and yet the president of these United States refused to go.
Yeah. Todd Starnes, thanks so much for being with us. As always, appreciate your insight and your very, I think, challenging articles, because you'll put out there what others are hesitant to do. So thanks for being with us.
Well, glad to do it, Tony. Thanks a lot.
Again, that was Todd Starnes. To find out more about Todd and the work at FoxNews.com, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Congressman Ted Poe of Texas joins us here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Should Christians get involved in politics or focus on evangelism? Historically, Christians have disagreed, but theologian and author Dr. Wayne Grudem has some answers in his new booklet titled, Why Christians Should Seek to Influence Government for Good. Dr. Grudem explores the history and theology of Christian public service and challenges us to be well-informed and vote wisely. So what will you do with the opportunity you've been given? To download your copy of this booklet, visit frc.org/Christian Influence.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guest. But if you're not already receiving my daily update and the alerts that we send out from Washington, you can do so by signing up. Sign up right there at the website, TonyPerkins.com. Our updates come to you Monday through Friday right there in your email inbox. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, the president was in Texas this week, but not to deal with the border crisis. Rather, he was there to raise money for political allies. Now, with an estimated 52,000 unaccompanied minors that have crossed the border since the beginning of this fiscal year, and reports suggest that number could swell to 90,000 by the end of September, you think the president would be on top of this. But the flood of illegal border crossings by these minors was in fact triggered by a previous Obama executive order, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which has spread rumors across Central and South America that those who come will be granted permission to stay legally. However, instead of acknowledging the failure of his pen and phone routine, the president is asking Congress for more borrowed money to spend taxpayer money in an effort to help the issue just go away. The representative from the 2nd Congressional District of Texas, Judge Ted Poe, joined me for this discussion on Wednesday. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's always great to talk to you, Tony.
Well, I could be talking to you about both subjects. I just finished with Joel Rosenberg talking about the crisis on the border between Israel and in Gaza. But I know you have a passion and a deep interest in Israel and their well-being. But I'm going to stick to the border of Texas and Mexico, where there's another crisis brewing.
You're exactly correct. And Tony, your analysis of it was right on point. This is another crisis that has really been caused by the administration sending the word out to everyone in the world, especially in Central America, that if you come to America, we'll let you stay, especially if you're a minor, and we'll take care of you and your family. That's what they believe because of the fact that the president has ignored the rule of law and has issued his executive amnesty, basically, for minors. And now we have the thousands of folks coming across the border. The president wants money to take care of them. He's missing the point. You can't deal with the crisis of a humanitarian crisis first when you have people continue to come across every day. Mm-hmm. So we have to actually secure the border. The president says the border is secure. He's wrong. That's why he won't go down there. He's been invited by members of Congress to go to the border of Texas and Mexico and watch people cross into the United States because they're not being stopped. So we need the National Guard on the border to stop folks from coming and send the word that the rule of law is going to actually be enforced in the United States, our sovereignty. Yes, we do need to deal with the folks, the kids primarily that have come here. But our plan should be that we want to reunite them back to their home country.
So, under the president's request, there appear to be no guarantees that this is going to solve the problem. It looks more like a Band-Aid approach. But at the same time that he's coming to Congress asking for borrowed money, that's what it is. Let's be very honest here. This is borrowed money. We don't have $4 billion. At the same time, though, he's still threatening to advance his immigration policy through executive order.
That's exactly correct. His plan is to borrow the money, for us to borrow the money, to take care of, in the name of humanitarian reasons, take care of the folks that have come in, and then down the road continue to use his unconstitutional authority of executive action to let people stay and violate the rule of law because he wants to use pen and phone to rewrite the rules. As far as the money goes, what we should do to get the money for the border security is to reappropriate money that we are sending to foreign countries. Mm-hmm. Give money to 158 of the 193 countries in the world. Reappropriate money from those countries that really don't like us, like Pakistan, maybe the nation building that we're trying to do in other countries. Why don't we securing our border should be certainly as important as securing the border in foreign countries. So that's where the money should come from. There should not be new money. I think if we could do that, we can deal with the issue of border security first and even the humanitarian issue.
Now, Congressman Poe, I would have to imagine that in your position as chairman of the subcommittee on immigration and border security, that you have been discussing this issue with your own governor, Governor Perry, who has been very vocal in this issue. And I would think this is putting an economic strain, at least tapping into the finances of the state to try to secure the border, doing what the federal government should be doing.
You're exactly right. This is the duty of government. government does have some responsibilities. The Constitution really requires that they do at least that, protect the country, and they're not. Governor Perry, legislature, has been appropriating and spending money. They're at least $500 million already. It's about $1.3 million a week that we're spending. The state taxpayers are spending for border security down on the border. That money should be reimbursed to the state of Texas from the federal government. But the governor is doing this because it has to be done, and the administration is missing an action on this issue. So we want that reimbursement back to the state of Texas.
And this is not something that just like happened this month, not like it happened last month. This has been a process that's been happening now for almost 2 years. That the flow has increased clearly as the word has spread that you get across the line and you're free, you're safe. But in reality, this has been a problem that has been in the making for some time.
That is correct. Ever since the president led people to believe in foreign countries that he's not going to enforce the rule of law on immigration, that they have been coming over. This current situation is well organized, primarily by the drug cartels who are operating in Central America, and they bring people at exorbitant fees that their families are paying to transport their children to the United States because they're led to believe that if they get to the United States, the kids will be able to stay. And so you have the drug cartels or the organized crime syndicates that are moving these people through Mexico, so Mexico is not protecting their southern border either, straight into the United States, and they're doing it in such an efficient way. More and more people are coming. You're right. It didn't just happen. It's just getting worse every day.
Right. Congressman, thanks so much for taking time out to talk with us today about what's happening on our border down in part of between Texas and Mexico.
It's always great to talk to you, Tony, and thanks for what you do.
That was Congressman Ted Poe, the 2nd Congressional District of Texas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over to Congressman Poe's website. Also, while you're on my website, TonyPerkins.com, be sure and sign up for our daily update, which comes out Monday through Friday. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Thanks so much for joining us, and let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. As he writes in Ephesians chapter 6, when we've done everything we can do, when we've prayed, we've prepared, and we've taken our stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.